Hello, thank you for visiting Crossroad International Church, a Christian community in the heart of Kuwait consisting of believers from dozens of countries around the world. Our vision is to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. We hope you're blessed by the message this morning.
In chapter 4:4-9, and I titled the sermon, The Peace That Guards. Many of you don't know me, but maybe you do know me, but maybe you don't know this about me, that I am an Eagle Scout. And as an Eagle Scout, as a scout, you're kind of like you do outdoor activities and you get what they call merit badges for doing different activities that you do. And one of the most difficult but enjoyable merit badge that I got as a teenager was the backpacking merit badge. And you had to go backpacking, I think, 3 or 4 times of 15-mile hikes and then 1 35-mile hike. And, I have a backpack here. I use my backpack all the time. But when you're backpacking, you have a different kind of backpack. And now, in those days, they didn't have the internal frames like they do now. They had big metal outward frames. It's supposed to sit on your hips. You're supposed to carry it on your shoulders and your hips so you're not hurting your back so much. But there's a saying that ounces turns to pounds on the trail. In here, though, you say grams turn to kilograms on the trail. Because everything you put in that backpack, you are carrying with you everywhere you go. And when you're hiking, 6, 7, 8 miles a day for multiple days, you have to be very strategic about what you bring and what you leave behind. And it's exhausting because I was in the Sierra Nevada mountain range in California, and even the stuff that I had that I knew was essential, it gets hard to carry that stuff everywhere you go. And I want you to imagine you were doing that and you decided to put a bunch of, while you were hiking, rocks on the trail. Fill your backpack completely with those rocks. Your backpack would get so much heavier. And that's a stupid thing to do. We would take, if I was your scout leader, I would say take those out immediately because you are not going to make it because the weight is so heavy. But many of us come to church the same way. We have so many rocks of anxiety in our bags, in our backpacks, whether that's work or children or health or finances or our future. It's weighing us down. And in this passage we're about to read, I think Paul is asking the question, why are you carrying these rocks and why are you carrying them alone? We need to lay them at Jesus' feet. So let's read the passage. Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. So this is called the Epistle of Joy. And this will be a short sermon, okay? So we'll be hopefully done on time. This is called the Epistle of Joy because Paul talks about so much joy and rejoice. It's used twice in this set of verses here, right? But the irony or the interesting thing is that he writes this from prison. He writes this behind the jail cell, and his own future is uncertain. And many people say that he died there, that he didn't get out. He was separated from the church that he loves. He didn't know at the time whether he was going to live or die. But his joy and his peace was grounded in Christ, not in his circumstances. When life is going well, it's easy to say, you're going to make it. You got it. Keep going. That's super easy to say when your life is going good, to give that advice to somebody else. It's much harder to say from behind bars to tell your church, rejoice, continue. You can do it. You can go. So my big idea is this. Paul's big idea, rather, is that God's peace is not found in the absence of problems, but in the presence of Christ. God's peace is not found in the absence of problems, but in the presence of Christ. So first, we as a church, we and individually, you need to bring our worries to God. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, not rejoicing in your circumstances, right? He didn't say rejoice because things are going so well for you. The object of this joy, right? What are you rejoicing in? You're rejoicing in Christ, the Lord. He doesn't say don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. He rather calls us and commands us to redirect our anxiety. Not to pretend that everything is fine, because in our lives, in your lives, things are not always fine. Things can be falling apart, and that's okay. Instead of worrying, though, to redirect that anxiety to prayer, to thanksgiving before God. And he says, don't do this as a last resort. Do this always, all the time. It should be our first response, not our last resort. So my question is, where does your mind, where does my mind naturally go when I'm overwhelmed? Does it go to planning, to controlling, complaining, withdrawing? I can be a person who's tempted to search for the answers, right? I use Google and Google AI way more than is probably healthy for most people, because I want to solve the problem myself, to control it. Or maybe you're a person who likes to replay the situation over and over again in your mind, or just obsess with worry. Or is it prayer? We need to pray to the Lord, because prayer, unlike the other stuff we do, worrying does not have power. Replaying it over and over does not have power. Trying to control it does not have power, because we can't control almost anything. Even planning does not have power, because you make a plan and then the minute it happens, it goes completely wrong. But prayer has power. God is in control. And it reminds us that God, when we pray, it reminds us who's in control here. We think, especially because of our Western influence, that we're in control of our destinies. But if you've lived through this war, if you've lived through COVID, if you've lived this life long enough, you realize you have so little control over anything. And prayer reminds us, thankfully, that God is in control. You know, I think I've said this before, but, you know, for one of the first couple days of the war, when you heard the air defense missiles going up pretty consistently, my younger son, Silas, he was feeling scared because he heard them And even though we try to make a big deal of it, you know, he's 6 years old. He's not a baby. He knows, like, this is not good. And he came over and just hugged me and obviously was feeling scared about it. Even though he knew that I couldn't change the outcome, right? I couldn't stop it. I had no power to do that. But him just being held by me, him just asking me if everything is going to be okay, I was able to restore his feeling safe. And that's how God is with us. He doesn't always remove the circumstance. Sometimes he does, absolutely. But other times he allows us to stay in it. But he wants us to give our hearts and our minds and our lives to him. That's why one of the reasons we pray. We say, God, I am struggling. This is not going well. I'm sure that, you know, Mercy prayed for her pastor who passed away and prayed that her aunt would be healed, but didn't get healed. That doesn't mean that God was not with her, that God gave her a peace to do her mission. Even though she prayed and God didn't answer the way that we always want, not the way that we always desire, but God wants us to pray anyway, one more time, right? To keep praying, because God will give you what you need, and maybe what you need is not what you want to be answered in that moment. So second, we need to receive the peace of God. So what Paul says is that he doesn't promise immediate answers, like I just said, but he does promise peace when we pray, when we seek him. It's peace that will guard us. You know, you think of soldiers protecting the city, or I think of how I imagine, I'm not a military person, but how those air defense controllers, you know, shooting those missiles out to destroy incoming attacks, right? Imagine them like watchful and sitting there waiting, maybe giving the alarm before everyone else does. And that's how God's peace protects our hearts. You know, as missiles of worry and anxiety come at us, God is the perfect air defense controller. He will shoot them out of the sky before they reach us. Like I said, not always removing the worry. Those things are still there. They're swirling around in the back of our minds that we have. But he says he will protect us from them. Because it's the battle for our hearts, right? Jesus wants our hearts. And to protect our hearts from worry, he will guard us with his peace, whether or not things change. Peace is not the absence of uncertainty. Because that's short-term. Yes, it's great short-term when things are going great and your life is certain and things are going smoothly. But super short-term, because the next thing there's a problem, that peace disappears. But true peace is the presence of Christ. And that's whether there's certainty or uncertainty. Many of us can have tons of uncertainty, but still have God's peace as we seek him and we pray to him. And we often hear this in the Christian circles, you know, when you have peace about a situation. I think we can misinterpret what that's saying is that when you have peace about something, that doesn't always mean that that's like the easiest path, right? That peace is not always the thing that has the least amount of uncertainty. Well, true peace should be based not on your circumstances, God's peace, but on Jesus. Because sometimes I've had the most peace about things that were the hardest to do. Like when God, the Holy Spirit said to share the gospel with this person, there's no peace in my heart, right? It's not easy is what I'm trying to say, right? I don't like sharing the gospel because of my flesh says, don't do that. You're going to be made fun of, or it's going to be hard and it's going to be scary. But God gives me his peace, you know, it's not easy to do. And I share and people respond. And you see in here, we've all had experienced the same war. And believers have responded differently to it. Some of us have been consumed by fear. while others were confident in the Lord. What's the difference? We all had the same situation. The difference is, who are we seeking? Who are we trusting is in control? We think we're in control, you should be afraid. Or if you trust in God, you know that He has you. He will protect you, whatever that means. So if you're confident in the Lord, you will have His peace. And finally, fill your mind with what leads to peace. So he shifts here from prayer to thinking. And our minds are terrible at this. They naturally drift towards distraction, towards worry, towards doom scrolling, complaining, anger, selfishness. But Paul is saying, no, you choose what you dwell on. True, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise things. Because what fills our minds shapes our hearts. So don't do it casually. And he says, practice doing this like me. It's a bold statement from Paul, but it's true. You know, what you have seen and heard and received in me, because he's saying, I'm doing these things, not perfectly, but I'm doing these things. I'm setting my mind on this like Paul. Practice this. And then that peace is experienced also by God of peace, is experienced by obedience. Weeds grow naturally, but it takes intention to grow a garden, to grow flowers. Right? We have to be intentional. So my question is, what is discipling our mind, my mind, your mind this week? What is controlling your mind? Are you just allowing it to dwell on whatever it wants to, whether it's news, social media, fear, anger, bitterness? Or are you choosing to focus on God's word, God's truth? And to challenge us also, if you stacked up your time outside of work, right? What would most of your time be spent on? Would it be on spending time reading the news, social media, or more on God's word? And you should add that up when we can see it. So as we come to the Lord's table, we know that the greatest problem has been dealt with. Because of Jesus, if you believe, you have been forgiven of your sins. You've been reconciled to God. You've been adopted by Him and you've been loved. You are loved by Him. And those are wonderful truths. But those truths don't remove all our earthly anxieties. However, Jesus will carry them. Jesus will take those rocks in your bag and He will carry them because He is the Prince of Peace. He gave His life on the cross for us so that we can have peace with God. And then that allows us to walk in the peace of God.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crossroads International Church. If you have questions about how to pray for, give, or get involved with CIC, visit www.ciccoet.com or check out our Instagram and Facebook account at CICQA. Have a blessed day.